We will now call the meeting to order, and may we all please stand and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll open the meeting with the public comment period, and we have Deborah Harper has wished to speak.
Good morning. Thank you. My name is Deborah Harper, and I live in Modesto, California. Do we have pictures here? Can I go up with those? Thank you. There's a lot of hearsay going on in town, so I finally took some photos. These are old photos I've carried around for a while. I haven't shared them with anybody because I've been trying to be polite, diplomatic. And while I'm being polite and diplomatic, everybody's slandering the heck out of me throughout the community. I'm currently still, and unbelievably, suspended from the public library, the law library, and JC, a couple of stores in town with false information. You know, my specific request is to the library, okay? This is the backup. This is the reason why I'm asking you to remove the suspension. I don't know how I can go about it because I can't get anybody to communicate to me. The only thing I've been able to do is use the complaint process in multiple areas. It's not a friendly process, okay? You write a complaint, you get kicked. I filed a med board complaint, and I've been kicked off the bus nonstop since, and it's almost daily now. It's a sphere of reference. But the health care is very important. I'm not receiving it. I'm not getting the health care. Not one person has provided health care for these symptoms. There are foreign objects in there. They're clear in the x-rays. They're clear in the photos. That's not a rash. It's not dermatology. That's a foreign object that floats through my body. I can feel it day after day. While I have people fabricating false information and gossiping and slandering to 86 me out of every functioning level in the community. So my goal is to specifically request that the suspension be dropped from the library because that's my resource center. That's where I can go to type a letter, get a phone number, get all the resources I need because I'm not getting any health care in this town. So I have to go, you know, through the resources that we have to locate the appropriate health care. I do have an appointment set up, but I'm guessing that I'm going to go through the same thing in the new primary that I went through, to the same degree, but we have a very tight community here, you know. Everybody's loyal to each other, but they're not focused on providing the services that they're there for. I was detained for an hour on the bus, which is a sphere of reference. Because of the medical, I'm disagreeing with the physicians who are not providing the physical health care. They are slandering the crowds. The friends and family are just trashing me everywhere. I went to an appointment yesterday. The little gal took my blood pressure and argued with me. And I'm like, whoa. Can we focus on the health care rather than argue? Okay, those photos, you can show that it shows the deterioration of the tissue, literally. The muscle in my body is gone. The white thing with the black tip on that white bone is the foreign object sucking the tissue off my leg. I felt that foreign object fall from my hip to my knee on 7-2. Nobody has acknowledged any of it anywhere in the healthcare field. Instead, they refer me to a psychiatrist with nothing to substantiate it. Now, I respectfully step back from the psychiatric area, even though I've been a secretary, I have a total respect for the field. When I have psychiatric symptoms that are real, I will go get help for them. But I don't need a GP, an ER doctor, telling me I'm psychotic, bipolar, I have alcohol problems, I'm not getting any physical health care because all those are distractions from the actual physical care. The last time I had a pulse rate on 824 of 194, I ended up in an ER because nobody's taking care of these things. They could have been surgically removed or medically, you know, eliminated somehow before now. But on 824, I show up in the ER with a pulse rate of 194. The doctor, who turned out to be the ER doctor, the director of the ER, walks in and goes, oh, so you're going to file another med board complaint on me. Nobody is concerned about what they're there for. They're taking, you know.
Deborah, could you wind this up?
Yes, sir. Thank you. So I'm requesting today, and I don't know how I can go about this, getting access into the library so I can contact people. I'm on low income. Now, like I said, I've used the complaint process. It hasn't been functional. We don't have a communication level where we can talk about these standards and get things taken care of. Thank you for your time. Is there a place that I can go to get that suspension removed today? Thank you, sir.
Is there anyone else wishing to make public comment on any issue not on today's agenda?
Chairman Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Doring, Mr. Robinson, Tom Horvitz, Nassau's Farm Bureau. We have, many of you know, there's a lot of things lurking in our future, but there's something lurking in our future that's 5 years out that affects every single one of you and probably two-thirds of the residents in Stanislaus County, and it's called the FERC relicensing of Don Pedro Dam. How that affects everyone in the county, not only does it affect their potential power prices, electrical prices, it affects their water rates, it affects the businesses that are tied to it, whether it's industrial, commercial, or agricultural. This is a process that I think a lot of people have come to the party just a little bit too late. We're involved in it. Many of the other organizations are starting to get involved in it. And I urge the board, and I urge Stanislaus County to become involved in it. If some of the things that we look at, the loss of water, the loss of power, the loss of revenue, what would happen to Stanislaus County if many of their property tax holders decreased the value of their property 25 to 50%? Would that have an effect on Stanislaus County? I think it would. So we humbly ask the board, we know you've partially been involved, but we ask you, take a little closer look at something that affects two-thirds of this county. It's a long process. It's a long haul. We're in it for the long haul, and we ask you to join us. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments by anyone?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Emerson Drake, longtime resident, Stanislaus County, Modesto. I'm here again. Somebody asked me the other day, can people make a difference? I said, well, you know, when it comes to politics especially, no offense to anybody, but sometimes the faces can almost be interchangeable. When I come up here and rail against sometimes an individual, it's just because they're the one that are occupying that office at the time. You want to look at national politics, you know, Republicans, Democrats, you know, it's all about the game. It's all about the rules of the game and the way the game's played. And there's always ways around it, I understand that, but the way to change it, from my point of view, is to change the basic rules. Are these rules important, people ask? Would you believe an elected official once spent $45,000 to learn the rules from a consultant before he got a, you know, single vote? Nothing wrong with that. It just shows how important learning the rules is. Those rules are what I'm asking you and imploring you, as usual, to change. Let people donate all the money they want to any candidate they choose. But if it goes over a set limit, that office holder has to step back. I think that balances the power. When we look around, these meetings aren't a lot different from the city council meetings. Mostly people that work for the county, Ignite, it's mostly people that work for the city, the public. You could almost say that they don't bother to come. They don't see that they can make a difference sometimes. Don't get me wrong, we all work different schedules. A lot of people can't be here. When you hold your meeting tonight, I'm not there. Don't change your meeting times, okay? My point is that, those donation limits make a real difference. If somebody likes one of you guys so much they want to write a $10,000 check, I say go for it. But I don't want that $10,000 check to buy so much access that they get to make the decisions for the entire county. And I think that happens on a regular basis. Just a perception I have, and I know it's a perception the general public has. And I don't think that people should be allowed by throwing money around to allow the perception of purchasing contracts in Stanislaus County to exist. I think that's wrong. I acquiesce to you gentlemen's experience where those levels should be. You know, I just love the 460s. I love to see where the money goes, how sometimes it gets passed back and forth. How a campaign donor can say about quarterly before an election, here's $4,000 to a candidate. Nothing wrong with that. But then, of course, the candidate turns around and spends that $4,000 plus in that donor store. And then the next quarter, they do the same thing. And there's nothing illegal about that. By God, I can't figure out a way to make it that way either. But at the end of it, how does he thank his donor? Well, you know, you still have uniforms, and I've got a lot of people that need to wear them. We're going to wear yours and yours only. Now, that's not an official contract. It can't be stopped by any rule I can envision. But it's just an example of what goes on in this county. As I told you before, I really want to take, when you gentlemen set the standard, and that's what I'm hoping for it to be, I'd like to see it go to the city of Modesto. It's not a matter of who the individual is. It's a matter of fact that somebody can come forward with that kind of money and buy access and buy votes. Sure, I mean, if somebody donates $5,000 to your campaign, it's all right. And it was nothing wrong with that. But when they donate $20,000 or $15,000, and he says, you know, I think your vote ought to go this way. Well, I'm not saying you can force it. I know you gentlemen have integrity. If you don't agree, you don't agree. But by God, it sure be nice to make him happy, wouldn't it? I mean, come on now. So let's set those limits so you won't be beholden to them. Set a two, set a one, set a $3,000 limit. So I'm glad to take your money. Call me anytime you want. But when it comes time to a vote, I have to step back. I think that's a good way to run a business. You wouldn't have any employee that's working for you take gratuities from people, wondering if they're going to pass out a contract or make a decision that's in that person's favor. And I know it's tough because you're setting a limit for yourselves. But you need to set that standard. We all hope that you will. You know my usual proposals. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Thank you. Are there any additional comments anyone wishes to make? At this time, then, I'll go to the consent calendar. Anyone on the board? Everyone fine with the consent calendar? I ask for a motion, then.
A motion to approve the consent calendar.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. We will now go to the scheduled matter at 9:05 a.m. Adam Christensen.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doring and Mr. Robinson. Adam Christensen, Sheriff here in Stanislaus County, bringing to you this morning a matter for public hearing, which has to do with the Supplemental Law Enforcement Services Fund. This is an annual allocation of funding that comes from the state of California, although the source this year is somewhat different than where it's come from in the past, but we're fortunate to be able to take advantage of this funding. And so what we're going to be asking you to do this morning is approve the expenditure plan and for the 11-12 fiscal year. We're expected to receive about $300,000 from the state to be used for frontline law enforcement services. Again, this is an annual allocation that has been distributed equitably between our law enforcement justice partners. And as the agenda item notes, $100,000 to the District Attorney's Office to partially fund a criminal investigator, two legal clerk positions, and the sheriff's plan is unchanged. And if you refer back, it actually predates me as the sheriff, but we've traditionally used this funding in both operations and adult detention for personnel costs. And the group that got together again this year that are made up of several stakeholders decided to continue with the same funding plan as we have in the past. So unless you have any specific questions, I'll turn it back to the chairman for the public hearing.
Thank you. Any additional questions by board members? If not, I'll open it to the public. Thank you. Anyone in the public wishing to make a comment on this subject? If not, I'll bring it back to the board and ask for a motion or further comments.
Motion to approve.
There a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. We now go to B14. Vanessa, we'll discuss the library introduction.
Oh, good morning, Chairman Montes, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. I'm Vanessa Zopek, your county librarian. With me this morning is Susan Lilly, the library's communications, marketing, and fund development manager, and Amy Taylor, the Modesto library manager. This agenda item requests the board authorize an ordinance to extend the current library sales tax and to put this issue before the voters in the June 2012 primary election. The board has authorized three previous elections. The library transaction and use funds, which have brought in $107.1 million since inception of the tax in 1995, are dedicated for library use only. This tax has been a consistent and reliable source of revenue, which is controlled by our taxpayers. Citizens of this county have found that without local financial support, their libraries would be left to the vagaries of spending decisions by the state, which in many cases amount to theft of local funds. These decisions in the past by the state, and now in the present uncertain budget environment, would allow the state to take away money from our county, and thus preventing us from providing services at our 13 libraries. The tax rate, which is 1/8 of 1%, is 12.5 cents on a $100 purchase. It averages about $20 per year per household, or about $1.66 per month. The current tax authorization is for 8 years. It's in effect through June 30th, 2013, and it's due for an extension in June of 2012. Sales tax has transformed our library into a nationally recognized award-winning library system. Before the tax was first passed in 1995, our community had no local control regarding library services. Library customers experienced worn, outdated materials and depleted services. But with this dedicated tax, which the state cannot take away, our community receives a continuous stream of new books and magazines, DVDs, and CDs for a wide range of interests. There are now numerous public internet stations at all of the libraries and wireless access at every library. The community has access to premium online research databases plus high-quality reference services. And our library, which is a necessity and a vital community resource, offers a wealth of information for students, researchers, grant seekers, and working people, and it benefits everyone. The sales tax restored these critical and essential resources to our community. As you can see, our libraries are open many more hours per week due to sales tax funding. In 94-95, they were only open 240 hours a week. Now they are open 474 hours a week. And we have more staff to offer more service to the community. We have 133 staff members now. Since the inception of the tax in 1995, 1.16 million new books and materials have been purchased. You can see in 94-95, before the tax, a little over 12,000 items were purchased. And last fiscal year, We purchased more than 50,000 new items. These include books, book signed CDs, newspapers, magazines, DVDs, premium content research databases, and playaways. This is the playaway. It's an entire book in this little format. You just put in earbuds and you're ready to go. And these materials are an investment for the public of $19.1 million. The use of our library grows each year. And when the economy takes a hit, then our libraries are busier than ever. Circulation countywide was 2.2 million items in last fiscal year. And the library's annual report is in the lobby for public review. But briefly, here are a few examples of how our libraries are a necessity to our community. 17,330 new library cards were issued last year. 69% of county residents have library cards. And more than 71,000 children, teens, and families attended library programs last year. Since 1995, when the tax revenue began, more than 33 million items have been checked out. Amy Taylor, our manager for the Modesto Library, is here to speak about services to children and teens and also about reference and information services.
Services for to children and teens. During fiscal year 1994-1995, the Stanislaus County Library offered no story times, no children's programs, no school visits to the library, and no teen services. The mission of the library is to foster the love of reading and to open the door to knowledge. Studies have shown that reading aloud to young children helps instill a love of reading and is an important factor in a child's future success in school. Today, your Stanislaus County Library system offers 29 story times per week. Story times are critical classes that promote pre-reading and pre-literacy skills. They are a core service and are offered at all library branches year-round. Early literacy is a key component of children's programs at our libraries. Programs including storytelling, puppet shows, crafts, music, and the summer reading program. Summer reading program is designed to keep children's and teens' reading skills current over the summer. Other teen services include special programs, leisure reading materials, and information materials for homework assignments. Reference and information services. During 1994, the Stanislaus County Library System offered limited reference services in the Modesto Library. There was no reference services in branches and no telephone reference. 2.5 million reference questions have been answered since 1995. Reference and other online resources provide access to high-quality information not found on the Internet. Currently, reference staff assists many in using job search resources. Reference assistance is convenient, easy, and always available at all locations in person, by telephone, fax, and email.
Library partners with the Stanislaus Literacy Center to fight illiteracy in our county. This is critical because it's estimated that one quarter to one third of our population is functionally illiterate. This means that they read at the lowest level. They're unable to address an envelope, read a bus schedule, or use an ATM machine. But through ReadingWorks, the library's literacy program, adult learners improve literacy skills in reading and comprehension, writing, and mathematics. JobNow is an online search service to help people find jobs. It's funded by a state library grant, and it provides expert assistance in every step of a job search. It includes free help in writing a resume or a cover letter, live online interview coaching, and it's available from any computer with an internet. Before we had sales tax funding, technology services in the libraries were very, very limited. Right now, we have a virtual branch and through that we offer many services. People can search the library catalog, they can place holds, they can renew items, they can apply for a library card, and get reference assistance. As I mentioned before, there's wireless access throughout the entire library system, and there are 129 public internet computers. And also, we have a mobile app that we hope to be up and running soon that people can access the library through their smartphones. Well, this graph, which is never easy to read, shows pre- and post-sales tax revenues. Prior to 1995, the county and all of the cities contributed to keep up with the need, and our services were decimated. After the county received sales tax revenue, the cities ceased contributions, but the county has continued support annually from its general fund. Stanislaus County's library tax was a model for the rest of the state. It was the first county to enact a library sales tax, and these funds are dedicated only for library use. The Library Advisory Board made a report to this board about funding models when they studied it in 2009. And here to speak about funding models report is one of the members of the Library Advisory Board, Connie Pierce.
Good morning, gentlemen. As a member of the Library Advisory Board, I think it's important to speak to this issue today because sales tax funding is critical to sustaining our libraries in Stanislaus County. Several members of the Library Advisory Board are with us this morning. Would you say Stan?
No.
Okay. Keeping in mind that the 1/8 cent sales tax, which is 87% of the library's budget, was soon due for renewal, the Stanislaus County Library Advisory Board conducted a study of library funding models throughout California. First, we invited California State Librarian Susan Hildreth to speak at our January 2009 meeting. Next, we read and studied the report, California Public Library Organization, published by the California State Library in 2007. We also invited Anne Marie Gold, former Sacramento County Librarian and a project director of the report, to speak about library funding models at our April 2009 meeting. We discussed the funding models in depth at the July 2009 meeting. These included a property tax, special assessment, county general fund, and dedicated sales tax. The Library Advisory Board concluded that the dedicated sales tax is the best and most reliable funding source for our county librarians at this time. In October 2009, we recommended that the Board of Supervisors place this important tax on the June 2012 ballot for reapproval by the voters. Thank you.
Well, our libraries are vital to a vibrant economic health of our community, and they assist in job growth and economic recovery by helping people find jobs, by helping entrepreneurs grow their own businesses, and by teaching people to read. Libraries are the first step in literacy. Because the state insists in taking funds away from local government, impacts upon the county's general fund are uncertain. If the state's revenue projections are not met, then a trigger could be pulled, and our libraries would not receive any funds from the Public Library Fund, or for transaction reimbursement, or for literacy. It's suggested that this board bring a 5-year reauthorization period and a continued rate of 0.8% to the voters in June of 2012. And this will allow us to continue to provide library hours, to provide programs for children, teens, adults, and seniors, to provide children's story times, literacy services, and homework and job resources. The library will be able to maintain book, CD, DVD, and reference capabilities. And it will ensure that we can address facility needs of our population, as noted in the library's recent strategic plan. That document is also in the lobby for the public. And finally, it will enable the library to better meet this board's priority of a strong local economy. The California Revenue and Taxation Code 7286.59 allows a rate of 1/8 to 1/4 of 1%. It allows a tax authorization period of up to 16 years, and it requires a 2/3 yes vote. Key elements in this request today are an authorization period of 5 years, to continue the rate of 1/8 of 1%, and a vote in the June 2012 primary election. Recommendations for this board are to introduce and waive a first reading of an ordinance regarding the Stanislaus County Library's transaction and use tax, approve the proposed ballot language, authorize the CEO to take all actions necessary to assist with placing the matter on the ballot for the June 5th, 2012 election. Thank you. We'd be pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Any member of the board have any comment or question at this time?
No. Mine's more of a comment, and you guys made pretty much all the points, and how important this is going to be for our community to extend this 1/8 cent sales tax. It's very critical because of the tremendous needs. You pointed that out in our community, education levels. And when we talk about balance in our communities, it's a safe community, it's good schools, and having some parks available for kids. But libraries, I think, fit right in that balance. So, we talk about 87% of our funding. I keep hearing the same numbers over and over and over again. It will not exist. The library system couldn't exist in any recognizable form. So I'm going to encourage people. I'm going to encourage the board, which I think you're going to have a lot of support here, but encourage the community to support this. So thank you guys for your work.
Any additional comments this time? Well, then I will open it to the public, and I have a list of those wishing to speak. I will call the person up and then also the person to follow, so you'll be prepared. Bev Finley is... and followed by Patricia Hickman.
Good morning, and thank you, Chairman and Keith, and members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Ms. Deering. I'm Deb Finley. I come before you as the co-chair of the campaign to continue the tax. I can tell you that I've gone to 10 of the 13 branch libraries, met with their friends of the library, and it is so impressive what is happening in our little communities by the friends. I was at Empire the day they did a DNA of strawberry. I was also out when at Empire again when they were coloring and talking about the events of that month. I come away from Waterford where I learned that the middle school at Waterford closed its library and is now partnered with the library in Waterford. I believe the library card is the best card in your wallet. It's free. You have 13 places to go. You have all of the services that Vanessa and her team have talked about. And it's, for us, it's 1/8 of a penny or $16 a year. I have a husband that spends more than that on Starbucks coffee. And I think this is a small contribution to the welfare and well-being of our community. I will tell you that I hope to talk to each of you to public endorse our waiver, and thank you again for putting it on the ballot.
Thank you. Patricia, excuse me,
Chairman. I was going to say, Bev has been, when I was out at the Keys Max, she came out and spoke, so I know she's getting around the community. I wanted to thank you because that's the effort it's going to take in order to get this passed in these times, so thank you.
Following Patricia Hickman, followed by Carol Shore.
Good morning. My name is Pat Hickman. I'm the president of the Turlock Friends of the Library. And our organization was founded in the early 1990s. when we had a less major recession and the libraries were collapsing in our county. So today we have about 300 members, and since this farmed, I think we've probably given close to $35,000 or more, maybe $40,000 now, to our Turlock Library to keep it going. And we want to continue doing this, but this is no way going to manage to keep the libraries open. We could be glad to help, but it certainly doesn't meet the bills. Back in those days, I was still a member of the library, Friends of the Library then, and we farmed with the whole county, as many of you know, and did get this tax passed. We passed it in Turlock with over 70% each time this came up. I hope this time we can do that again. Turlock has strong support of the library, not just our members, but many, many people in the community. And in this fragile economy we're having now, the libraries need to remain open. It's a great equalizer for education and knowledge. And to keep a free public library going requires all of us, and we appreciate you continuing this sales tax for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Kel Shore and Jane, followed by Jane Smith. Janine? Jane, pardon me.
Good morning. My name is Carol Schauer, and I am the current president of the Stanislaus Library Foundation. We support the library through fundraising and advocacy. This year we fully funded the summer reading program, which maybe some of your children or grandchildren were involved in. It reaches about 10,000 children annually and teens. Fundraising is important, but it is not the answer to a fully supported public library. The continuation of the 1/8-cent sales tax is the answer for the libraries for all 13 counties. And we have a lot of people here from the board today, and we fully support it, and we're asking for your support, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Jane Smith, followed by Susan Novak.
My name is Jane Smith. I'm from Turlock, California, and I've been a member of the Friends since inception. And I worked on the first time that they wanted the 1/8% passed. And I'd just like to add my voice to everyone else's that this is sorely needed in this economic times, because people need to be educated, the children need to be educated, and the library is providing the services that they can go to and obtain these services.
Thank you. Susan Novak, followed by Robert Dowd.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Susan Novak, and I'm president of the League of Women Voters of Stanislaus County. Our league strongly supports this extension of the sales tax. In 1994, when the libraries were closed as much as they were open, we were the first group to do a study of public library financing. We adopted a position that we review annually that calls for a dedicated source of funding for our library system. After our study, we were quick to take action. In 1994, which was actually 95, 1999, and 2004, we helped pass the 1/8-cent sales tax. Our belief in the importance of a free and accessible library system, and our belief in advocating for its consistent and stable funding is as strong today as it was back then. We are willing to do the hands-on work with other groups in our community to pass this tax renewal. Thank you for bringing it back again before the voters.
Thank you. Robert Dowd, followed by Sandra Dowd.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the time. My name is Bob Dowd. I've lived in Modesto for about 10 years. I'm a retired executive with large international PR agencies, advertising agencies, speechwriter. And my message today is to remind you guys what you probably know already. You have a great gem and asset here in the library system. I've been blessed to live in a few larger cities in my life. You can probably detect the New York accent. I've lived in San Francisco, Reno, Memphis, New Orleans, and Vegas. And I can tell you, based on what I've seen here in 10 years with the library system, bravo, you've got a great system. I'm also a member of the Library Foundation board and on the marketing committee, And my job on that one, on that group, is to go to private industry in town and in the county and to make sure they get the message and also to give us their support. So thanks very much, and have a good day.
Thank you. Sandra McDowell.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Sandra McDowell from Patterson, and I think I am really thrilled to be talking to the choir. I think we have a group of astute, intelligent gentlemen who will go through with this. The library system we have here is just about without equal, and I think we're all aware that libraries tend to be the gold standard of any true good society worldwide and historically, and I'm very proud to be part of this group. I was on, I'm friends of the library and was on the library board, and I know you gentlemen will do the right thing and go for this ballot extension. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this time?
Good morning. Supervisor Mike Losa from Modesto. I stand in support of the discussion on the libraries. I don't think there is a safer place in the community than a library, and a more comfortable place where people continue their learning and utilize this type of resource to improve their lives and the lives of others. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any additional?
My name is Jenny Knoyer. I'm from Modesto, California, and I would just like to applaud our supervisors for having more insight than our senators and our assemblymen in Sacramento, because allowing the public to vote on this issue, because that's really important. We weren't allowed to do that through the extended tax out of the Senate and the Assembly, so I really applaud you for allowing us to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any additional comments by anyone? If not, I'll bring it back to the board. Does anyone have any questions or comments? I'd like to say this before we go further. The library really is the core of a community, and many people really aren't aware of that. I take a look at the literacy program, and you'd be amazed as to how many people do not have the ability to read. And without that ability, there's a very limited accomplishment of life or an enjoyment of life. And the other thing involved with the library and the literacy program and many of the other programs is the fact that it is one that lends its hands to volunteerism, which we've asked the community to step up. And this is one of the areas where people have shown once again that they have the pride and interest of their community and the benefit of the community. So I want to commend those who come forward and given their words of wisdom and encouragement. And at this time, is there anyone wishing to say anything, or would you like to make a motion?
Motion to approve.
Okay. There a second.
I just wanted to make a comment. And
Sure, you go right ahead.
The libraries are an important part of our community, and they need a reliable, dedicated funding source. And this tax has been working well for a number of years. It's 87% of the library budget, and it's the most reliable source of funding I can think of. There's a lot of pressure on our general fund for basic services, and libraries are an important basic service to promote literacy and learning. So my intention is to support this today and to put it on the ballot for an extension.
Okay, we've had anyone wishing to say anything else, or we have a motion in place?
Just follow everything that
okay,
we've
there a second again, Dave? Do
you
need a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It's passed.
We now will go to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the approval of the program year 2011 Annual Action Plan for Stanislaus County Community Development Block Grant and the Emergency Shelter Grant.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a letter from the Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters inviting a member of the Board of Supervisors to be a participant on the Election Observer Panel.
Designate a board member to be put on the panel.
I'd be glad to do that, Mr. Chairman.
Would you like to do that? Okay.
Well, I plan on being there anyway.
Thank you.
This board has received a plan, the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Now, at this time, do any member of the board have a report they do wish to give? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to let everyone know that the Westside Healthcare Task Force is doing its official way out to the Biggest Loser weight loss contest this Saturday, October 15th, in the Destine, right in front of City Hall. The task force consists of healthcare professionals, business community, hospitals, and the participation Stanislaus and Merced County in the cities of Gustine, Newman, and Patterson. This is our third annual event, and we'll see who wins. Anybody interested in coming? We're going to start doing the official way out at 10 o'clock right in front of City Hall. And our Ag Commissioner, is Gary Casseri, is going to be the official waymaster.
How is the supervisor from District 5 going to do in the competition?
I've really worked hard at it. And I have lost 10 pounds. But the disadvantage is I'm with the Patterson team, who always comes in last every year. I've certainly done my part, and I've really worked hard at it, exercised every day, and been very careful when I eat.
I'm a week late, but I'd also like to praise and thank the International Festival that we had several weeks ago. It was outstanding, and I would like to people remember that it's all free, unless you want food or that type of thing, but it started at 11 o'clock and went to 4:30, and we had representation of people from all over the world that now live in the valley and perform. And I think next year, put it on your calendar, you'll be amazed. I want to congratulate that group. At this time, we have the Legislative, Physical, and Management Report. Chief Executive Officer.
Yes, not much to report this week. The legislature has, as we know, adjourned. The governor has either vetoed or signed the over 400 bills that were sitting on his desk last week. We're still sorting through the results of that to determine what the impacts and implications will be on Stanislaus County and our community. I do have one announcement to make, if I may, and that is to invite all to the Juvenile Justice Commitment Facility groundbreaking ceremony, which will occur on Tuesday, October 18th. That's a week from today at 3 p.m. It will occur at 2215 Blue Gum Avenue here in Modesto. So everybody's please attend and join in the celebration of this very important project.
We will now, the Board of Supervisors, sitting as the Stanislaus County In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority, I now call that meeting together. And the consent calendar, may I have a motion, please?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. We have conference correspondence, none. Public hearing, none. Agenda item 5A by Jody Hayes.
I'll speak to this item if I may.
Thank you.
This is just the request to approve by 8 months the labor agreement between the In-Home Supportive Services, Public Authority of Stanislaus County, and the United Domestic Workers of America, representing Stanislaus County In-Home Supportive Services providers. We have been conferred with labor representatives, and both parties agree that given the many uncertainties in the economy and with the state legislature and the administration in Sacramento, as well as some pending unknown outcomes relative to federal legislation, it would be in the interest of all parties to extend this agreement by that 8-month period and allow an opportunity to get greater clarity on the landscape for in-home supportive services programs, both state and federally.
Any comments or questions by the board? I'll open it to the public. Is there anyone wishing to speak on this subject?
Mike, excuse me, Mike Losa, who am I? From Modesto, Stanislaus County, regional coordinator for the United Domestic Workers Union. We strongly urge the board to support this 8-month extension. It is done in good faith for all parties, four parties considered, and we want to thank the county's negotiating team for their approach and understanding the position that home care providers face. Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. Are there any additional comments by the public? If not, I'll bring it back to the board. Any comments or motions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Passed. We have a public forum. This meeting will be adjourned for the Stanislaus County in-home support, and then county council comments.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have closed session conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiator is Richard Robinson, and the labor organizations are those noted on the agenda. We do not expect a report out.
At this time, Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors meeting is now closed.